Accession number 13237, Reel 4.
Veg Pitch, Reel 4. So I imagine that in Palestine, the morale of the regiment, of the battalion, must have been good.
It was, yes, it thanks to this new CO. And then some stage about now, I start to get trouble with my knee. Yes, I suppose that was due to parachute. Could have been due to parachuting, I'm not sure. But I began to get cartilage trouble. And of course, that's hopeless. I mean, if you get a slipping cartilage, which was happening. So I have to go off and I have a long surgical process, removal of the cartilage and so on. And I was away from the battalion for a long time because of this. One thing I'm not sure that people understand is that if you went to hospital or if you left your battalion temporarily, it was awfully difficult to get back to them. And it took a surprising amount of time to do so. You could spend weeks, even months, hanging about in transit camps, just waiting for the opportunity to rejoin. I think that happened to a lot of us. I've never seen that in writing, but it certainly happened. And I know I was away from the battalion for a very long time because of this operation. Meanwhile, they went and did a little bit of an operation in Italy. Which, of course, I missed. And then we all took ship for UK.
Is this 44 now? Before D-Day?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. Well, let's get the years right. D-Day was June 44.
Yes.
Right, now this is 43, and we landed back in England just before Christmas 43. In other words, after the African campaign was over. Surely, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, of course it was. Sicily had happened. And we'd got into Italy, yeah. Oh, yes. And we took a ship back to England.
In Britain, did you then start to prepare for D-Day?
Yeah.
What did that involve?
Some pretty stiff training. We were stationed in Melton Mowbray. And we must have, let's say, we arrived at Christmas, just before Christmas. They gave us a whopping big leave because one had been overseas for a long time and got a month's leave, which was nice. But I've been abroad for 3 years, I suppose. Yes, if not four. No, it's 3.5 years overseas. So I reckon I was entitled to it. You got so much, as much leave as your overseas service had been. In other words, if you've been overseas for 2 years, you've got a fortnight. You know, that's sort of typical. Anyway, a month's leave, which was nice. And then we were starting to get ready for something in Europe. But as you know, the 6th Airborne did the D-Day. And 1st Airborne had the most appalling time. Really appalling. Because we had nothing but a series of alerts, briefings, cancellations. Those three words, alerts, briefings, cancellations.
Did that bring morale down?
Yes, plunging. I mean, you can just imagine what it was like. You'd get yourself all keyed up. You might even be confined to barracks shut in the middle of a town in England, not allowed to move out of your... because you've been briefed. And you'd be going off next day. Cancelled. Well, now, that can happen once. No harm done. But when that starts to happen twice, three times, which is what was happening to us, you can just imagine what the effect on morale was. Because it was putting an awful strain on everyone. And it was just, people were getting fed up with it. Well, then Market Garden comes up. Now, I mean, a lot of opinions about Arnhem and about Market Garden and so on. But looking back on it, and knowing what one knows now, I have little doubt but that that operation also should have been cancelled.
Why do you think that?
Well, because the Germans, the tanks, were there, waiting for us. And somebody knew that, but we were committed and they were reluctant to pull back. And I can't help thinking that the number of previous cancellations may have had some bearing. They felt that they couldn't do it again. I may be talking complete baloney, but that's a little theory I've got. And a man like Boy Browning, for instance, this is the commander of the whole airborne outfit, was well aware of the wearing effect this was having on what was supposed to be his crack first parachute division. And I reckon when the thing really, the chips went down, they said, right, go ahead. But what they should have done, in my view, is to alter. Send us, yes, but don't put us into Arnhem. Tie us up with the operation further back. Let us reinforce that. Because I don't think paratroops should have been put where they put us. You see, what was wrong with the thing, too, was we were dropped far too far away from the objective, which is a great mistake, and we were jumping into a prepared... something had leaked, there's no question about it, there'd been a leak. They knew what was coming.
Can you go through, step by step, what happened to you?
No, well, yes, I can. I didn't go. I wasn't there, because I had surgery about a week before. I was hospitalised. Actually, I did get back to Melton, and I tried desperately hard to get off. But they'd gone, and I went up to the airfield twice, sort of, you know, to... because I didn't know what was happening at the other end. What I was trying to do was to get a lift, put it like that. I mean, this all sounds frightfully boy's own paper stuff, but it was true. But I was given the cold shoulder, the transport, American transport. Oh, gee, fella, we can't take you, you know, not a hope. They didn't say why. But the reason was, of course, there was a disaster happening at the other end, which one didn't know about at that time, when it was actually happening. So they wouldn't take me. In fact, they were only flying in desperate sorties of supplies, many of which, as you probably know, were dropped straight onto the Germans. And many of those very gallant Air Force, mainly American Air Force pilots, I think, no, probably RAF as well, gallantly flew in desperately low in these terrible old Dakotas. Well, they were wonderful planes, but they're not really designed for close contact with small arms, and a lot of them were shot to ribbons.
So that was presumably surgery to your knee?
No, it was internal. And, but I was, as I say, I missed out on it. And one sort of, we took terrible hammering, battalion, terrible hammering. So much so that we were never a fighting force again. Never. They tried rather hard to sort of But there was never a hope we'd get in the air again as a really big force. See, as we all now know, there was a desperate shortage of infantry by this time. And I think that is now a known fact, that we were plumbing the depths. The infantry was very, very hard put to it to get men into the field. They weren't there. And I suppose really what happened was 6th Airborne was maintained, and they did the Rhine crossing. And then, I suppose what would have happened in the end is that we would have amalgamated and the whole lot would have gone out to the Far East. But Hiroshima looked after that.